Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazala. With me, as always,
is Kristen Studdard. That's me. I'm going to introduce myself today.
I'll say my name. It seemed like you were going to, and then you hesitated, but yeah. I love that we eventually got there at the same time.
Ta-da!
Wow. And as we've been saying...
Oh, my gosh.
Much to Kristen's...
Chagrin
and protest. This is an exciting time for following the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is also, we're back at a regularly scheduled hour. I'm not making Kristen record at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
I think that...
I'm awake right now. I am chipper.
Looking at Kristen's eyes, it felt like maybe you forgot that that's what we did.
I did forget that the last episode we did was at 5 a.m.
Yeah. And I think...
I forgot that episode happened. It truly does feel like a fever dream. Mm-hmm. It feels like it didn't, the rest of that day, I forgot that that happened because I went home and I went back to sleep and then I woke up like a regular person.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I think it very accurately represents our dynamic, which is that I am very excited and will go to many great lengths for whatever this is. And you just want out.
Yep. But yet, I don't know. I have some residual. It's like Stockholm syndrome. I've now slowly. How many hours is this? My 26th hour?
Yeah, using the hour very loosely.
Oh, yeah. You know. So this is probably my 28th, 29th hour.
Let's bring in our guest.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, let's.
To get some commentary.
Yes.
If needed. Very funny comedian, writer, podcaster, Rhea Butcher.
Hello.
Yay, Rhea. Hi, Rhea.
What's up? Hello, friends. So stoked to be on the podcast.
Thank you for joining us.
So stoked to have you.
I'm glad it's not 5 a.m.
Me too.
I'll tell you that. My eyes blew up when you said you recorded a podcast at 5.
10 out of 10, you wouldn't have come.
Yeah.
That was the
most special occasion.
The fact that we had a guest on that podcast. The fact that the guest let us record at his house.
What? Yeah. Oh, wow. That's commitment. To the Rock Hall of Fame.
I'm in a rock hole, I think.
Yeah, I'm in a rock hole right now, too.
That's what we call
it. I get in between because in Northeastern Ohio, people call it the Rock Hall. They don't call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No,
they don't call it the whole thing.
Of course, I call it the Rock Hall.
You're from Northeastern Ohio?
Yeah. Oh, shit. This is going to be fun. Kristen doesn't know where I'm from.
No, I knew you were from Ohio.
Yeah, I'm from Northeastern Ohio.
My sister is working on a campaign in Ohio right now.
Which one?
She's working on Betsy Rader's campaign in the 14th District of Ohio.
Yeah.
That's Cleveland and kind of... the surrounding area.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio is gerrymandered as hell.
Yeah,
as I'm sure she knows.
Yeah.
So the districts are really weird.
Uh-huh. My sister drives 2 hours a day just to get from one end of her little precinct to the other.
Right, of course, because it's like a boomerang, basically.
Yes,
probably
it's wild. But yeah, I was out there knocking doors for Betsy Rader.
Yeah.
The other
and
week.
Also visiting.
And also I visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Was that your first time?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, that makes
yes,
sense.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Definitively and certainly, yes.
Yes. Have you gone? How many times have you gone? Do you get
I think I've gone 3 or 4 times now.
When was the last time?
The last time was in January of 2012.
Okay.
I was doing a show, Ramon Rivas.
Sure. Yes.
It takes comics there whenever you're in town
because
he can just get in. And it was
he's got a hall pass.
He's got a... Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Great job.
He's the one who gave me the tip because I was there for the accidental
about
fest.
Using a fake website?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, a real website
saying
for
you're
a
an
fake,
artist.
For an artist being very, loose with the term artist because they'll let in musicians.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So if you just tell them, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
And then they're like, do you have a CD? And then you say... No, but I have a website.
Yeah.
And then they'll look at your website for 3 seconds and, as long as it looks like a real website.
You can look at all the costumes.
Yeah.
I think the first time I went was they did a big Elvis thing. This was when I was very young. I think I was not even a teenager, maybe, the first time I went.
You were living in Ohio when it opened?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was a big fucking deal.
It was a big fucking deal. We were pretty stoked. I mean,
people were like, Cleveland.
Yeah.
You got it.
Cleveland rocks.
Yeah.
You know? But, because it was, it depends on your definition of invented, But, what's his name?
Alan Freed.
Thank you, Alan Freed. I was going to say Glenn Friedman, and that's a photographer in punk rock. But, said it. So we're like, yes, that's what it's from here.
We did it.
It was us.
And then I do remember that it happening and then everybody being stoked, and then they still, you know, they don't have the concerts there. They have them in New York.
No,
because
fucking,
but now
it's
every
New York.
Other year they're gonna go back to Cleveland.
Right. And I'm sure the years that they go to Cleveland, people are gonna be like, God damn it. But there's like a lot of cool shit in Cleveland. Like there actually is, because there's like small business and I don't know. I was just back, so I don't want to. I'll go back to my original tangent, which was then when the experience opened in Seattle,
Which we've talked about before.
Okay, yeah, that's like a that
Cullen
was,
brought it up.
Yeah, wait, but that doesn't exist anymore, or it does? Is that still open?
It's still around.
It had different architecture. It had
it took
a
ton of thunder from the Rock Hall, where like everybody was like, "Now this is a rock," and we were like, "Are you kidding me?" But that's like the most Cleveland thing to have happen. Yeah. It's like you do something and then it gets taken away immediately. It just goes away. But the Rock Hall is cool looking, and I also just like love flying into Cleveland Hopkins Airport, and there's like a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame gift shop in the airport, and just everything is rock. Just everywhere. But like Northeastern Ohio, realistically speaking, my entire childhood was being raised on rock radio, like classic rock radio. Yes. Same five playlists every
you
goddamn
and Joe
day.
Are
but
bonding
like,
right
just,
now and you don't even know it.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Stanley. Have you heard of Michael Stanley?
I don't think he is.
A Northeastern Ohio specific rock and roller. But that dude is like still making it through on classic rock radio in Northeastern Ohio.
So would they play a local artist? Is that what you're
that
saying?
That dude. Okay. That one dude. That was it.
Pittsburgh has a guy named Donnie Iris.
Yeah.
And he's
I know
like
Donnie Iris from being in Northeastern Ohio.
Right, from being in that kind
that
of
loop.
Western PA, Eastern Ohio. Yeah. Donnie Iris is like the classic rock hero of Pittsburgh, and like
these are musicians. These are not DJs.
No,
correct.
Okay,
I think they have DJed.
Okay,
I would. Yeah,
I
would assume.
I think they've done, you know, like the Michael Stanley rock block or whatever.
Yeah. Donnie
like
Iris.
My whole life was a rock block, essentially.
Right.
Oh, you grew up. She's been to the rock block. They've been to the rock block.
Yeah, you can call me either one.
Great, and I will.
Great.
Yeah,
any all of them. I appreciate the correction, but also you weren't wrong to begin with. So whatever you want to do,
it's like a thing I'm practicing.
I could tell, and that's why my answer was such, because I'll just say that like I started using they them pronouns, and then people on the internet got really aggressive towards other people who called me she because they weren't aware.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, well, I don't. The whole point was I didn't want to be angry, and I didn't want anger in my life anymore.
Of course.
And now you're bringing it in for this thing.
Well, and
so
also,
I don't want to do this.
People don't need to get righteous on other people's behalf.
No, they definitely don't.
Know?
Especially
they don't
like
need to do that.
Friends were doing it to other friends, and that's just bullshit. Because there's this person Leslie Feinberg who died a couple years ago, who was like basically like a trans prophet kind of like, but talking about it in a very holistic way, very open approach. And their quote is like, I've been treated with respect by people using the wrong pronouns and treated horribly by people using the right pronouns. So I live my life based on that.
Yeah.
If somebody treating me with respect and kindness and dignity, or attempting to, then I'm going to be okay with it. I also understand that that's like a privilege to live in a place where people are aware of these things and thinking of them, and also like, you know, violence is maybe not a part of my life as much as it is for other people. So I know you can't always do that. It's not a choice everyone can make, but I'm trying to make it because I can. So I'm trying to live that way.
Yes. Well, and I mean, I just as a person, I'm trying to like be more cognizant of people's choices and preferences.
Right.
And I'm trying to like, I don't know, I think of it as like, It's an easy transition to make, and I can make it. And so I'm like going to try to be aware.
Right.
You know what
And
I
you
mean?
Can't always know is the thing.
Yeah.
You know, like you just can't. So like, for example, Conan O'Brien was on my stand up show, like dropped in on my stand up show, which is like nuts because I grew up watching that dude. Like I remember when his show started and like a big part of like my taste in comedy is based off of Conan O'Brien. Like I literally grew up on that guy, and he was so nice. Did a set, but at the beginning he was like, I called Rhea up, she answered the phone, I asked if I could do her show, and she did my show, and she crushed it, like, saying, like, all these really
the
nice
things.
Such positive shit, just, like, losing my mind, and then I posted it, and people got in, and I'm like, you have to stop and think for a second. Realistically, Do you think I expect Conan O'Brien to keep up with my pronouns, number one? Uh-huh. No, I don't. Does he read anyone's Twitter? No. Uh-uh. Do I expect that at all? No. Is he a super kind person who's looking me in my eyes and asking me how I'm doing, and I genuinely believe he cares? Yes. Then he got on stage and is complimenting
me? Yeah, and is he getting on stage complimenting you, and are you the one reposting this?
Exactly.
Like, clearly I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Hey. And like, am I going to stop Conan O'Brien before he goes up and be like, just so you're aware, no, I'm not, actually. Mm-hmm. And like, if that's something you want to do, that's cool. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Right.
Don't think it's shitty, but that's just my choice. I get to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And like, if you don't know, so what I try to do in my life, and some people disagree with this, but like, if I'm unsure of what somebody's bringing, then I'll just use they, and I use person a lot, just generally in the way I talk about people who aren't around. It's not necessarily like somebody that I'm talking to. Like, if somebody's bringing a very feminine thing, then I go with she, and then you can correct me and I'll take that. But like, when I'm talking about people, I tend to just use they and person, because guess what? Then I start thinking about people as people.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Guys.
Start applauding and standing up.
Anyway, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You know. No, that's, I'm glad that that also organically came up. That's like, I'm glad that, I don't know. I'm just glad. How about that?
Yeah, okay. I appreciate that, because I said something to somebody. I was at a dumb party, and I was just talking to one person I knew, one person I didn't. So I was trying to be super charming, whatever. It's my style. And so we were talking, and then she
my
was like,
"My default is charm."
Yeah, that's the charm. Anyway, she was like, "You need to have you? Did you see A Star Is Born?" And I was like, "No, I didn't." She was like, "Oh, well, she thinks the ending was good, and I think it was bad. So we need to, and I'm right." And I was like, "Well, here's what I think. I know I didn't see it, but I think you're both right." And she was like, "No, that's not okay. You have to," literally screaming at me, "this is the internet." And I was like, "No, it's not. We're in real life. Plus, I don't really believe in binaries." And she got so mad at me for that, for saying that. Like, I was saying some take or something, but I was like, no, I really don't.
No,
like
one person can think it's bad and another person can think it's good, and those two things can coexist.
And another person can be like, "I didn't see it." And all three of those things exist and are okay.
Right. And it turns out that everyone actually is
right. Bradley and Lady Gaga are doing just fine without us having a strong take on the whole thing.
Oh my goodness. Speaking of, I haven't seen it. Have you seen
it? I haven't
it?
Seen it either, but I do think Bradley could be inducted. In 25 years.
I mean,
years.
His jacket definitely could, for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm getting a lot of heat.
Voice, all I know is that voice that he's using in the trailer. That made me not want to see it, where he's like, "Well, hey.
His walk is a little weird.
Oh, boy.
It just kind of, I don't know, it's funny. Crazy Heart is a thing.
Yeah, remember we did that?
Yeah, we did that thing.
And then before that, we did Tender Mercies.
Yep.
It kind of feels like, you know.
And also,
and then before that, we did A Star Is
Born. We've
also
done A Star Is Born.
Yeah, we've literally done A Star Is Born.
That's my actual thing, is like, we've also done A Star Is Born.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What if it was gender swapped, too? I mean, to speak in the binary.
I think about that all the time.
What if it was gender swapped? I don't know. That's interesting. Ooh, what if it was same genders? Anyway.
Oh,
that might be more interesting.
Gosh, how about it?
Instead of just the same thing again.
There were a lot of potential births for the star. and we took a kind of boring one.
Boy,
astrology,
we really chose,
spiritual,
we chose to,
mystical.
Yeah. Gosh, we chose to have them reborn again as white man and woman. Gosh.
What a reimagining.
So wow. But you know what? The songs are new. And she, you know, right?
The clothes,
and she's a,
the technology.
And she's a different kind of odd looking. So how about that? Like,
good
Christ.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay, rock and roll, guys. Yeah. Rock and roll is here to stay. It will never die.
Thank you. See, now, Kristen would not have said this a few months ago. Now she gets it.
Except
she
that
understands.
She genuinely does think that rock is dying and that is being replaced by hip hop and that there will not be a ton of rock music very soon.
Mm, interesting. I don't know. I agree with that, and I also disagree with it. Because I think,
and guess what? We can both be right.
Yeah. Yeah, we can. And like, I think, yeah, we both are right. Only because I think about, like, number one, I don't think we can really conceptualize how new rock and roll is, you know? Like, it's only really been around for, like, 70 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we still use pencils. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, we have all this shit, and, like, you're still like, "No, I need a pencil for this." So, like, nothing really goes away. You know, it's always there.
And unless, also, you know, the and the basis of rock, like that, I just mean like rock is evolving what we think of as like rock and roll.
Oh, of course.
And
yeah.
Also mainstream music, like rock used to be this big alternative to whatever was like, what
when
was
you
it,
say
doo-wop
used to,
or whatever.
When do you mean?
I mean, like in the 40s and 50s, kind of as sure. It was starting to like become actual, like as soon as
it was
like
counterculture
the term.
To yeah the...
but it was also like capitalizing on the Industrial Revolution, which is wild, you know, because you're like, oh, the only reason we have this is because we had like harnessed electricity.
Oh, totally. Well, that
yeah,
was
mass production,
mass production,
and,
yeah, right,
yeah.
Well, and I mean, that one of the coolest parts about the museum to me was like watching the evolution of radios and stuff like
yeah,
that, and seeing
right.
somebody on the beach with like a Victrola.
Yeah,
right.
Like, oh my god,
really, really funny.
And yeah. You know, as like radio reached more people and stuff, but I guess I just think like rock has been. I think mainstream music right now is
sure.
hip hop. Like, I just think that that's where we're at. I think that.
Oh yeah, without question.
Yeah,
pop and hip hop are what most people are listening to. There's not as much what you would deem consider like traditional rock and roll happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm curious as to when it'll make a resurgence. I don't think
well,
it's
yeah,
like,
because
you know,
I think listening to classic rock is making a resurgence, you know.
Whoa,
like I think
you're speaking Joe's language.
Listening to, you know, everything's like a loop. So you have at the turn of the millennium, like the Strokes and all and the Hives
yeah.
and all that
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
going like, oh, this is what rock can be still.
It's like, and
this?
They're just doing 60s
remember
garage
this
rock.
Prestige,
you know?
Of stuff. And like everything is somebody I started watching Atomic Blonde again last night, and somebody was like, ooh, everybody's really into this 80s thing. And I was like, yeah, but also everybody's really into this 90s thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also everybody's really into the 70s thing. And because mm-hmm. it used to be that everything was on a 30-year cycle.
Yes.
You know, like,
right.
So in the 80s, the 50s were the thing.
Yes.
Back to the Future happens, mm-hmm. and you, like, are living these two things at the same time.
Right.
Then the 90s happen, it's, like, the 60s into the 70s.
Yes.
Then the millennium happens, and everybody's like, why don't we just do everything all the time?
Yeah.
And even mm-hmm. and then now, with having the internet for so long, everything is happening all the time.
Yeah,
so
we are
no
Jack
division.
FM.
Yeah,
we play
yeah,
what we
play
want.
We play everything.
Right. Yeah, everything all the time, and there's not a human being running it.
Yeah, exactly.
We are an AI.
We're a playlist.
We're a terrible AI.
It
we're
happened.
the least ideal AI, where we're just screaming at you and playing the sound effects, and no DJ is even choosing to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and also and
it's Skynet, basically.
And they're playing these like kind of like aggro interstitials.
Yeah,
on
slightly
Jack.
Slightly oh, conservative.
Like, just,
like
yeah,
slightly,
yeah.
where they're like, this isn't your mother's rock and roll.
Asking you a weird and uncomfortable question?
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
Jack FM.
Yeah. Jack would sleep with Stormy Daniels. So that was something that's like a little off in terms of current events.
Right, yeah.
And
needs
like
a little punch up.
A weird take
yeah.
needs some punch up.
It's a real first draft.
Making radio great again.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Check out Jack's Supreme Court hearing. I don't
yeah.
want to.
Yeah, I don't want that at all.
Wow.
And then because I listen to the radio in my car. Like I don't. My
right.
car is from 2001.
Whoa.
It has a tape deck in it
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
a radio. That's it.
Yeah.
I bought it. I was thinking about getting a new car recently, and a lot of it was, this is very dumb, but like that would be nice to be able to listen to whatever I want to, because I've been really
yeah,
into listening
to
music.
Radio.
Yeah, really into listening to music lately, and well, just for a while. Bringing that back into my life, because I was so podcast heavy when I had a office job before I started doing comedy. Then I stopped listening to podcasts because I don't want other people's
yes.
thoughts in my head a lot
mm-hmm.
yep.
to write. And so then music came back in. So, but then I went to the airport and I bought a dongle that has a lightning
yeah.
connector and the tape deck
tape
connector.
Tape deck, that's what you
and
need.
And it's changed my life. I'm like,
yeah.
I need a new car. I bought this thing for $40 at LAX. Everything's great.
And
also, I really love 88.5 FM.
Yes, we bring
huge
that up a lot.
I'm trying to double high five on this
okay.
right now, guys. There
y'all
we go.
Some Saddleback
that's,
Ranch fans?
Yeah, big time.
I
big
love
time.
That radio station.
It's one of the best I've ever
ooh,
heard.
I am a member.
Wait,
I just
season,
I got
we
the
talk
shirt.
About We
I'm
talk about
it.
This radio station all the time.
I have found more new music. I mean, I like Spotify. Whatever. It's sacrilege to talk about these streaming services. I pay for it. I also buy vinyl, new vinyl. I like try to do as much as I possibly can to support things. But also, like, listening to Spotify, I actually am listening to music.
Yeah.
And I've found a ton of new music on Spotify. The algorithm, for the most part, is pretty good and, like, gives me new stuff that I'm like, I'll listen to this immediately. But I've learned way more music from 88.5 than I ever have from
They did
Spotify.
That weird merge. We've talked about it briefly. They did that weird merge, and I didn't like it at first. But mm-hmm. then now, I think that they've found a happy place to be.
Mm-hmm.
When they originally merged with that other station, they went 88.5? Wild. Yeah, when
so
88.5 merged
was
with some
Barbara
other.
It was Santa Barbara 88.5.
Yes, I remember those
they
days.
They became one, and some of their programming changed, and I think there's still effects of that merge.
We still have Nick Harcourt, though. As long as he's
yeah.
still
got
around.
Harcourt, yeah, we still got the World Cafe.
In the evening,
which is always
reliable.
Not a fan
of the Beatles Saturday.
I just feel like that's a...
I can get down to the Beatles every now and then, but look, I don't need to... I would be okay if I never listened to the Beatles again. I know this might be shots fired.
Right.
But
also, I understand.
I've heard it so much.
You have it
yeah.
all. You can recall
you
it.
Recall
you don't
it.
Have
yeah.
to hear it. You can recall it
I
all
can recall
because
it.
It's in
I
there.
Can
it's in the vault.
I play Sgt. Pepper right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
in
for
any
no.
order. It's like one of those things, too. It's like that wouldn't need to be a Desert Island album because
no.
you can already play it. I wouldn't need to bring it with me. I already brought it with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you've got it.
You've
and,
had enough re-listens.
I have my mom's copy. I have
oh,
like.
That's cool.
Speaking of like rock, I have my mom's copy of a couple things, specifically Ziggy Stardust, and then which is just great to have like your mother's Bowie. From
oh
when,
wow!
I mean,
yeah.
from when? From mm-hmm. when? Layla and Other Songs, Sgt. Pepper, and then what was the really the her favorite Todd Rundgren album?
Something
Wizard
anything?
True Star.
Todd
Maybe.
Rundgren.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
nominee.
Big Todd head.
Yeah, Todd's a
Todd
nominee.
Is nominee.
This year.
Todd is
time.
Nominated.
yeah.
yeah, this year.
And I've been playing that album. Something anything. It's really. It's
I'm pretty.
Really
I'm
album.
Pretty excited for him and for this. Also, just quickly, one of the best things you can do for the environment is not buy a new car. Is keep using
yes.
your car.
Yeah.
So
it
that's
is a
also
gas car,
another
but it gets good
way.
Gas mileage and
yeah.
like.
And honestly,
what is the
it's
point?
Actually better than buying a new, like, even electric car.
Right, yes.
It's still better yeah. to just keep running this car.
Yes. Yeah. And that car, I drove out of Ohio when I left.
Whoa.
That car has a lot in it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard for me. Like, I might just keep it, depending on what my life is like when it's done.
As, like, a keepsake.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, for real.
A memento,
that car, I mean, Joe, I drove that car to Notre Dame. I parked it in that parking lot.
Uh-huh.
It got
Did you go
shoveled
to Notre Dame?
In once behind the football stadium, and I couldn't take it out.
Wait, you went to Notre Dame too?
I did.
So this is a fun point.
Yeah.
Rhea's the person in comedy that I've known the longest.
Oh my gosh.
It's so funny.
But because
I mean, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known you the longest.
2007.
Six
yeah.
and seven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went there for graduate school. So I was a
when
teacher's
I was an
assistant. Yeah. So Joe was in one of my classes.
Oh my
that
gosh.
I was a teacher's assistant.
I took
that
etching.
Very cool one. Oh, etching. I thought maybe you were in that one that Bill taught that was about like scrolls and stuff.
Oh,
were you
geez.
Never that?
Whoa.
I mean,
that
dude that was
seems
like,
up
that
your
dude's
alley.
On another level. Talk
like
about
that
rock and roll.
Lot.
That dude is fucking rock yeah. and roll. He's so.
He was very cool to me, and I was
He's
a very
cool.
scared 19
What was your major,
old.
Joe?
At the time, it was studio art.
What?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so I had taken that.
I'm
class.
Learning so much, and I'm enjoying it.
It was ostensibly a printmaking class, and I had taken it as a kind of confused
mm-hmm.
Art student who knew he wanted to do comedy.
Yeah,
and it started at 3 p.m. So I was like, I'll take this.
yeah.
And I was mostly with upperclassmen, and
right.
I was very out of my depth and very shy, and I didn't speak much. And when we met again, Rhea, I assumed you would not remember me.
No, I totally remembered, but because it was a different context, and like comedy's weird,
mm-hmm.
I remember just being like, let's not bring it up yet.
yeah,
like I just wanted to like get to
one.
Know you
let's
as
sit on
a
that
comic.
One for a little bit.
Do you know
uh-huh.
what I mean? Like yeah. I was just like. If that comes up immediately, then it's going to be present all the time.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So I actually want to get to know Joe as a comic as opposed to uh-huh. a student or whatever
right.
so that dynamic doesn't exist because mm-hmm. it didn't really. I was
I don't know.
Assistant.
I think you'll
professor.
Always be his
like,
TA.
yeah. Hot for teacher and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I remember you bringing it up later and I was like, yeah, absolutely.
It felt
course.
Like time.
Yeah, it felt like
right time.
That's exactly. I uh-huh. described that to somebody last night of talking about being on this podcast and I was like, yeah, it just like happened when it happened, which was mm-hmm. cool. I like when that stuff happens.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So is that the degree that you got?
No, I ended up switching to film and TV.
Oh, I ended up switching to a comedy.
Right, yeah. I mean, essentially.
In a way.
But I feel like art is a really good for comedy, too. Like, some mm-hmm. people need theater, the performance of it or whatever, which, who knows? I don't know. But I feel like...
I did.
Because I, yeah.
I can say that for free.
I mean, at the same time, I'm like, I wish I would have had that, but also, like, I'm fine. So, like, mm-hmm. you do what you need to do to get to the thing. Because I feel like printmaking, for me, taught me, because that's what my undergrad degree is in specifically, like... Printmaking is stand-up comedy. Like, you have an idea, you put it out there, you make it a bunch of times, you make it as good as you can, uh-huh. and then you have, like, an addition, and then you go tell that joke a bunch of times, and people like it, and then you're, like, handing it out to people, and that's what printmaking is.
And then people same are like, thing. People are like, why don't you just keep making that same print? And you're like, I'm sick of it.
I gotta make a new one. Yeah. I'll make it again in a minute. I still have the plate.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, but...
Totally.
And I was starting to do stand-up at that point when I was 19.
That's so great. I mean, I hadn't.
Right.
I wasn't going to do it for, you know, 7 more years or something like that. Well, 5.
Yeah, maybe 4 or 5, right?
Yeah. 3, 4. 4.
There
four,
you go.
4, 4, 4.
Did
4
you
more years.
4, 4, 4, 44. New Jay-Z album.
New?
New-ish. Latest. Yeah, his latest. I guess if you don't count the Carters as a collab. Mm-hmm. Joe, you started doing stand-up in college?
I did, yeah.
Drop? Did you do it there at all?
The Drop was not there.
What didn't exist yet?
No. I did at Legends was the first time.
Right. Yeah, good nachos.
Yeah.
I ate so many of those nachos. Jesus Christ.
It was like the kind of on-campus club.
We had no stand-up at my college. I was in this college sketch group, but we did not have
college?
Stand-up. Bradley University.
Where's that?
Peoria, Illinois.
Oh, I've been to Peoria.
Oh, yeah.
I've played the jukebox.
Oh, yeah, the jukebox. I mean, I won tickets to see...
Next to the strip club, across from the drag strip.
Big Al's, across from Big Al's, yeah.
You can hear the strip club through the wall. So,
you know,
in the quiet parts of your set, you can hear cheering.
Great. See, and you can pretend it's for you.
Yeah, pretend it's for you. It's definitely for me.
Man, I saw someone at the Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria, and his closing number was he put on these fake eyeballs, and he called them hot buttered eyeballs.
Ooh.
He was like, you guys want to see my big closer? And he said, these are my hot buttered eyeballs. And then he put on these weird fake eyeballs.
That's not
it was not
it stuck with you.
I mean, the fact that I remembered it right now, I was like, I did see comedy once in Peoria.
Did you see comedy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What was that exactly? Hot buttered eyeballs.
Hot buttered eyeballs. I think he also might have said, because this was like early 2000s. This was probably 2002, 2003. And I think he might have said, look it up on the internet. If you look up hot buttered eyeballs, I come up as maybe a keyword search.
No, definitely don't look that up on the internet.
Yikes.
Yeah, so don't do that anymore.
No.
Don't do that.
No, the internet has filled up since then.
Yeah.
So that's been pushed out.
Yeah, he lost that AOL keyword.
Totally.
So.
Hot buttered eyeballs, I'm assuming, is a reference to Hot Buttered Soul. The album from Isaac Hayes, inducting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame around that time, 2002.
Wow. Great work.
I did what I can.
Congrats, Joe.
Yeah, 2002 is around the time Isaac Hayes was inducted. And Rhea, I don't know if you know this.
Probably not.
I mean, I mentioned it to you. The nominees have been announced.
Oh, my God.
This is, and we are continuing our special coverage of the 2019 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominee announcement. So we have a list of, I don't know if you've seen the list.
I haven't seen the list.
Oh,
I wanted to come
gosh.
In fresh and just have a fun conversation.
Okay.
That's how I come in every time.
So,
no research. But a lot of open-mindedness and ready to have opinions.
This is why we recorded at 5 a.m.
Yes, I hear you.
That's when
it.
The names drop.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the most exciting time because you have no idea who's going to be on the list.
Yeah.
We had an educated
guest.
And also,
last year's induction was so fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And boring. Yeah. And lame.
A lot of like second tier classic rock bands.
And
right.
also this
Give me
year,
a
Joe.
The Moody Blues,
the
yes,
Blues
Bon
Dire
Jovi.
Dire Straits, Bon Jovi, The Cars.
Dire Straits.
Nina Simone.
I mean, The Cars, come on now.
Yes, that's why we said The Cars last because they're our favorite. And Nina Simone is also
And
very
Nina
great.
Simone. And then Sister
Rosetta
Tharpe.
also cool. But like
The Cars and Nina Simone. Dire Straits is one of those bands where like I. made the mistake of saying in front of my baseball team that I did not like Dire Straits, and I almost got the shit beat out of me, but not, you know, whoa, theoretically.
Right, yes.
But like, people come on, happy. Man, I don't...
They were like, Walk of Life?
They sound good. Like, it's one of those things
exactly.
Where I'm like...
They're, this I think, is classic music second
sound,
tier.
Yes, that sounds good, but I'm also like, these guys, like, I don't like these guys. Like, that comes into my life. Like, I gotta make these choices.
Well, and they
drops
just...
an F-bomb in the fucking
oh, yeah.
thing, where I, like, didn't
they,
know
yeah.
about it until very recently, and I was like, well, fuck
yeah.
this song.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I obviously don't mean the F-bomb that I'm dropping
yeah.
continuously
right,
on the podcast.
No. So,
which, by the way, is that okay? I'm sorry.
Oh,
I've been
oh yeah, no,
F
no.
A
it's,
lot.
It's,
fuck it up.
Why.
if I
fuck
may.
It up.
Yeah.
What if
fuck
on
up,
a
dude.
Rock and roll podcast, you were like, please refrain
I'm
from
sorry.
Any obscenities? yeah. So I'm going to give you the list of,
let's do it.
Of nominees.
And also, this is what I want to say,
and that
too.
Was just the nominees, or that was the inductees?
Those were who
this
got
is
inducted.
The nominees.
Right.
So
last
we have a few
year,
months.
That yeah. last year, that's who got
that
inducted.
Was who got in.
And
okay.
the thing about
I
it is
there
the were
full...
just other nominees that could have been, that would have been
bon
better,
Jovi.
And it didn't happen, and it was a bummer.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I had ever paid attention to the
right.
Rock Hall in
yeah.
my entire life. And it was a real bummer
you
of
had
an
your
intro.
Heart in the game.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
I didn't
happens.
Care at all, but Joe was like, "You're gonna love
yeah.
it. Wait
it's
till
you
see the induction ceremony." And I was like, "Nope,
not this time."
Yeah,
yeah.
But this year, the nominees are. Oh, and also, Joe pranked me this year and did a fake nominee episode, and I.
We expected the nominations to be announced about a week before they came out. And so I told, and I we had it all planned. I was going to reveal the nominees to Kristen, and then it came time, and they had not been announced yet. So I put together a list of Halloween songs and pretended like those were the inductees.
I
and I had her going the whole time.
It was
up to
horrible.
And including the Monster Mash.
Well, no, when we got to the Monster Mash, I was like, what the
wait
fuck is going on? And then he was like, I can't believe you didn't get the pattern. Like, I would have been looking for a pattern.
Sure, yeah.
Like,
but I played Spooky, Frankenstein, The Zombies, Werewolves of
say
London,
it. Now
Smashing
you say
Pumpkins.
It. Now you say it, and it's like, oh, yeah, wow, how didn't she get it?
I played Oingo Boingo.
I'm telling you, I would not put it past the hall to do any of this
yeah,
shit.
I mean, that's
like,
the
it's
problem
not, like,
is that
exactly.
it's believable.
Right,
exactly.
And you already have such disdain for this institution.
And so, and now...
As you should.
So now the
rock and
actual...
Roll should have no institutions is the problem.
Whoa, there we go, see?
Dang, dude.
Sex Pistols over here.
EMI.
So the nominees this year, and I'll read them in the order that I read them to Kristen.
Cool.
We had a few recently eligible artists who were nominated last year but didn't get in, surprisingly, which was Radiohead and
yeah.
Rage Against the Machine.
Wow.
And then we had The Zombies, who've mm-hmm. been up the past, this is their third nomination in a row, fourth
it's
total.
It's time.
It could be, but when you hear the rest of the
sure,
nominees,
yeah.
you'll be
it's
like, I don't
like
know.
Such
that's
a good
why the
list,
zombies
I'm
keep
shocked.
Slotted down. It's
right.
Difficult.
I feel like they're always the sixth or seventh.
Yeah, and yet, like, you know,
good
Dire Straits
players.
Got in over them. The
that's,
you know what I'm
sad,
saying? Again,
actually.
Think about that.
Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, and that's their. This is their fourth nomination. MC5,
mm-hmm.
also, I believe, their fourth. LL Cool J, which I think is his fifth. Kraftwerk, also... a fifth nomination. They,
wow.
These are
yeah.
artists that are so clearly influential, but the voting body doesn't seem to be able to embrace them yet. And then for the first time, we have Stevie Nicks.
Wow.
We have Def Leppard, John Prine.
Yes.
Yeah. Which
people
is a,
are very excited. He's the
yes.
the darkest horse of them all.
Yeah, he's a dark horse.
He showed up no one on nobody's prediction
who's
list.
Who's this little guy?
yeah. Say what? Aforementioned Todd Rundgren.
Yep.
Janet Jackson. Which
all
is
right.
very exciting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hallelujah.
Roxy Music for the first time,
uh-huh.
which is very,
yeah.
very cool.
Yeah.
The Cure mm-hmm. back for the first time in 7 years.
Joe's biggest snub.
They should be in, and I see no reason why not.
Yeah, of
put
course.
Them in.
I mean, honestly, this whole list is very good.
Yeah. It is, yeah. I mm-hmm. mean, in comparison to
not
previous
not enough divas,
years.
But
yeah.
whatever.
Sure, of course,
not
yeah.
enough divas, but Devo.
Devo.
Yep.
The band Devo. That's Devo.
Yeah, it's Devo.
Although sometimes when Mark Mothersbaugh pronounces it, he does say Devo.
Right, because it's
devolution.
Yeah.
Right. But Devo for the first time are on the list, and
yeah.
it's really exciting. Yeah, especially for...
I mean, they're a dark horse, too.
They are
to
an
be totally
extremely
honest,
dark horse.
Like, more, I would say maybe more so than John Prine,
mm-hmm.
just because John Prine is like a singer-songwriter type or whatever, which I feel like they
embrace.
Maybe dig.
Yeah, they do embrace that.
But like, I have just been really meditating on the idea of the fact that we even have the label singer-songwriter. Because, like, I know, like, basically you're, like, musicians and then pop star. Or, like, it's just funny to say that. Like, what the hell? Like,
Mark Mothersbaugh is a singer-songwriter.
Like, yes, exactly. Like, yeah. How is that not, like, okay, so he has a band of people. What?
Right.
But
I, so does, the distinction, I think, is the
yeah,
band.
But it's just, yeah, at this, like, I guess at act. This point, it feels kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, like, do away with it, but it's just kind of funny because I also have noticed that it's sort of, like, is the word pejorative? I don't know. Towards women. When a woman is a singer-songwriter, it kind of takes her down. But when you call a woman anything, it always feels like, why are you calling her that?
They should call her a singer-songwritress.
A songstress.
They do say songstress, but she could be a singstress. Writress. A singstress.
Speaking of
songwriters,
the waitresses should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too.
Oh, I know what,
like,
boys like.
Bum, bum,
holy
bum, bum.
Shit. Well, that album is really good.
That's like a good new wave album.
It's a perfect new wave album.
The same way there's like the Vapors also, I'm turning Japanese. Mm-hmm. Their album is very good.
Yes.
There's a lot of really cool albums from that.
See, I mean, all of that stuff, that's what's going to come back. Like, it already has.
Yeah.
Like, in LA, like, that's already what people are doing. And it has been happening. But without what's interesting to me about music is that it comes back without pretense. So, like, people are doing it, being influenced by it, and having their own take on it. And it's not like the Strokes or the Hives or whatever where it's like, I'm putting this on. Mm-hmm. I'm putting this whole thing on.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I kind of think the Strokes had a more original whatever. But it just doesn't feel like a big decision where a band is like, we're going to sound like this. They're just kind of like, this is what I listen to. Let's make some music. Which I think is really interesting, and I think rock in general will have this, like, rebirth in the next 10 years where, like, rock will actually be a thing again, and there will be, like, a big body of stuff happening because so many things are going on all the time, you know? Like, it just, like, punk and new wave and folk and country is happening in the same band,
right.
And it makes sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound, like, ridiculous. It doesn't sound like pretense. There's, like, no pretense.
Right.
That's what I like about music right now. There's no fucking pretense.
And I
or
think,
at least the music that I'm lucky to have found.
Yes.
You know?
And I think our generation also has been very attached to a lot of things, whereas the generation before us was very detached.
Yes.
So, you know, you think of Generation X and you think of this music sucks. I hate this. I'm too cool for
being
this.
Being defined by what they don't
being
like.
Defined.
Whereas our generation
also,
is a lot about, like, passion for everything.
Yes. Yeah.
And, like, surprise, I like pop music and I'm a fan of it and I'm passionate about it and that is cool.
Mm-hmm. And
because
then,
I'm into it.
Do you know
it.
What the generation after us is into?
What?
They're just into.
Everything.
They're just into stuff.
Yeah.
Passionately. Not detached. If they're not into something, they're like, that's okay, I'm not into this, but like, I like that you are. And that, like, finding someone else's interest interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
without how podcasts happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And
that
then
is...
you can make a record and put it on Spotify. Mm-hmm. We could do that today if you guys wanted to. You know what I mean? So
cool.
Like the removal of
guys,
and then 88.5 would play it. So like there's a new loop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've gotten out of the whole industry of the thing and, like, made a whole new industry of the thing.
Yeah, the barrier is not... The barriers are not there the way that they used to be. The barrier
they're
to making money
they're different.
Is hard. Is
of course,
is
but it's
there.
Hard. The barrier to making money for all of us is hard.
Yes.
For, like, art is hard. But I think because of that, there's a whole new... There's just a whole new industry. It's not even an industry. It's a community.
But
of,
I
of
will
makers
say,
of things.
I think a thing that's really, I mean, I agree. There's this whole idea, you know, that like all you need are like 1,000 passionate fans and like that's it. You don't have to try to be everybody's favorite. You don't have to be for everybody. You can be for your niche. Be for the people who like you, who get you, who want to support you. That's all you need. That's a cool idea too. But I think that what's happening with music is like, singles are, you know what I mean? Like,
we've gotten more
about that.
Independent artists or even just like beginning artists can like make some cash to keep making art.
Mm-hmm.
Is they make a good single and then they get that in front of They live out here,
mm-hmm.
and they play or get that single in front of music supervisors and music licensors.
Yeah,
and they sell
get it
one
in a
song
commercial.
To a fucking
yeah.
commercial or a TV show or a movie or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you make $20,000 or whatever, how much it
yeah.
is, and then that's $20,000 that you reinvest in your business, and then you just keep doing that thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean, like, the Black Keys are a great example of doing that. Because I was there for that beginning of that thing. I was mm-hmm. there when that band was three people.
Because they are an Akron
band. They're an Akron band. And like what Patrick did, I always call him Pat, but he likes to be called Patrick. And most Patricks do. Which is something I've noticed.
Across the board.
Across the board. But what they did was, I remember when they were opening for Sleater-Kinney. When they were touring with Sleater-Kinney in a van.
That's a cool
in
show.
Australia. Like, that is a rock show.
Yeah.
For
yeah,
sure.
Hell yeah.
And then, like, what's amazing is they influenced Sleater-Kinney to have their, like, more big rock sound. Like, I love that like, opened Sleater-Kinney up to, like, expanding their riffs even bigger and realizing, like, oh, we could, like, go like, bigger garage with what we were already doing. Like,
we
we're
can
doing
make the garage bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
We were in a two-car garage. We can be in a multifamily
garage. Yeah, we can be in a fucking barn.
We
and
can be in a parking garage,
open.
Man.
So then they had success, and then they sold a couple songs to, like, commercials, and they made that money, and what Patrick did was reinvested that money in a recording studio in his basement, and then they self-recorded everything they did. And then to make more songs to make more money.
Right.
Which sounds like you could be like, ugh, that sounds whatever.
That
gross.
Sounds like a cocaine
but
addiction.
It's also like, no, you're paying to make the thing you want to make anyway. And then one of those is going to get you more money to keep making the thing. So make the thing, you know? And
yes.
like you're a band and it's only two people. They only had to split that money between mm-hmm. two people. And now they're, you know, separate artists making their own shit.
I think it's cool. I guess I just am like, I think about just kind of the art of the album is, you know, I mean, we've all lamented. This is not a brand new idea that
sure.
I'm like, wow, guys, there just isn't a Sgt. Pepper's out there anymore. Guys, I have a really original
take. But
there's
so many,
but
though, is the thing.
Right? And then when you think about it, even like from a mainstream point, you think about something like Lemonade.
That's what I was about to say. As like, I can think of a few. There are still seminal albums coming out. There are still like pieces that, you know, tell a story mm-hmm. and things like that. It's just, I guess I feel like there aren't as many.
Possible, but also maybe with time, we will look back on this era and go, wow, there were a lot.
Yeah.
But we needed the time.
Right. I feel like you get to have your own personal ones, I guess is what I'm saying. Because there's just so much music now, and the accessibility has been so democratized to getting to all these albums, and the resurgence of vinyl has put me in this place of listening to an album again instead
Yay.
Of playlists or shuffle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And
not me. I'm like playlists all day
I mean,
long.
I'm into playlists too. Like I'm totally, cause like I love curating a feeling and like sending something to somebody and being like, this is what I think. What do you like? And, you know, whatever, but having like, so Amy Mann's Mental Illness is such a perfect record all the way through side A, track one to side B, track whatever the last number
right.
is. Uh-huh. And like, it is Sgt. Pepper, you know, like it's just, it's a different vibe, obviously, because it's Amy Mann, but like,
it's
Sgt. tremendous. Pepper. It's like a tremendous piece of art. And I mean, she is just like one of my favorite artists, period. Mm-hmm. Like, her music is transcendent, I think. And her like use of language is stunning, and that
and
record is so
the way
good.
I got to know her was through a movie.
Which movie?
Magnolia.
Oh yeah,
that was
sense.
Like
I think
how
a lot of people were introduced
that was
to
how
her.
I got to know
she's
she
in
was.
The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
So I was just curious. Yeah, I mean that record's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, her music is amazing. I got to see her open for Jason Isbell in the 400 unit at the Greek, which is also a really great album front to back.
Mm-hmm.
Like that 400 unit record, the Nashville sound is like so good all the way through. And if I hadn't started buying vinyl and feeling like this is a thing that makes me feel good, like having a record collection, then I thank the record store High Fidelity in Los Feliz for that, because I could walk by and half the time I would just buy what they were playing, which I'm sure drove them crazy, but I got so much weird shit that way that like this really great SOS band record that I can't think of what the album's called. They're like in a shopping cart on the front to back. Great record. Great like disco-y poppy record all the way through. Put that thing on, hanging out with people. It's great.
people are. It's a mood.
It is a mood.
It's a big mood.
It's a big mood. But I just, I had stopped listening to full records, and now I do that again.
Now you make me want to get a record player.
You should.
Up until this point, I have not wanted to have one. Oh God! Well, the speakers on there are so terrible.
They'll kill your records too. The needles are terrible.
Well, and I just feel like that's what I also feel like. A lot of what's happened with like record culture is either you can feel like it's so exclusive,
yes,
and that you can't get in if you don't have, like, I'm like, oh,
like
God,
the Rock
like,
and Roll Hall of Fame.
What exactly? What? And I'm like, and like, and it's
we're having
four,
a great conversation. And, I just wanted to pepper it
and
in
it's
every
four
now and
then. Dudes. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
like,
no,
it's this exclusive thing that's like four dudes. That's like, I don't want my record collection to be judged. I don't want my equipment to be judged, etc. So there's that on one end.
You don't
want
to be snob. And I was just talking about that yesterday.
And then on the other end, there's this whole like, kind of low rent, posery thing about it, where it's sure. like, well, I got a really cute record player and I have like 10 records that are like, you know, I have the 10 classic records and I never play them. They're just collecting dust and the speaker on my record player is terrible.
Yeah.
But it looks very cute in my minimalist room or whatever. And so I don't want to be on either end of that
spectrum.
Yeah, you
got to be in the middle, which is the whole thing.
You know?
Just walk in the middle. Get yourself a record player that's $150.
All
I
right.
can tell you the exact one you should get.
Tell it to our listeners.
It's an
well.
Audio Technica that's like $150. The only thing I don't like about it, because it
link
you don't need
in
a preamp.
Bio.
Oh. It has a preamp in it, so you can plug it directly into speakers
Great.
You probably already have, with just like the red and white guys. You don't need extra. You don't need a receiver, which for me,
See,
most of my life was the biggest impediment.
That's my biggest impediment. Is
I have to buy a receiver too. Like it just, you know, the whole thing and not having space. And I like would have gotten rid of it so many times.
Yes.
But now this, the only thing I don't like about it is it doesn't have auto stop. So you can't like once you get to the end of the side, it hits the label and starts messing up your needle.
Oh.
So it'd be nice to have auto stop just to save my needles
and my
records.
Do they make do they make maybe the next level
Probably.
Up that has an auto
But it
stop?
Might be a considerable, because they would add other
the jump
bells
would
and whistles.
Be like,
you know what I mean?
Maybe a lot. Okay. Well,
but,
we'll
you know,
something
it's to me, it's like most of the time I'm very present in my record listening, but sometimes I'm doing something in the other room and I forget it's the last track of that side. And then I'm like, yeah, because it's also like, it sounds terrible. And you're like, no. But there's also a really good, another, I think a Sony one that's actually really gorgeous, like a simple 80s style,
Ooh.
Just like the plate, you know, that looks really good. It's a little more expensive.
Okay.
If I had known about that one, I would have bought that. But I also like
maybe
this one.
Maybe that'll
it just
be my
looks
next
like
thing.
Record players from when I was listening to records, because that's also what I grew up listening on. The car radio, cassettes, and records. Like,
See,
I
my
was there when
CDs have
a
giant. CD cabinet, like a huge CD cabinet, and we have a huge receiver and huge speakers in my house. Like that's it's a very
it's a
very 90s setup that we have in my parents' home, with like our big entertainment center like opens a big door of
it
opens and there's like 200 CDs in there,
and they all
and,
go they make a very specific sound
and
when
there's
you open it.
And then, like, the CD player that we used to have was, like, a giant tray, and it would rotate, like, 10 discs in it.
You put them all down?
Yes, I believe. Or it's either a Bose, or maybe it might have just been, like, a Sanyo or something like that.
We had one that was a big cartridge that you would
you put
pull
six
the,
in.
Six in.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like a car.
That sounds great.
But they
weren't
making them for cars yet, and so that was the first, like, house version.
Ours was a big old tray. And I mean, my family, I grew up, my family listens to a lot of music and they listen to it very loudly in our house. Like that
I
was kind
that.
Of a thing. We used to come home and like my stepdad, it would be like the house was shaking if he was home alone. Just he'd be like rocking out.
God, I love that so much.
And it's like, that's a thing that we were never into records though. Like when I was growing up, we were really poor and we were moving all the time.
Sure, yeah.
So we had no records. My dad had a guitar that he would frequently pawn, and then like that was how you knew if like things were getting bad, the guitar was gone.
Oh boy!
Like you know, it was like we're moving again soon. The guitar is
the
gone.
The guitar has gone missing.
Yeah.
Then the guitar would come back. Then there'd be like a T-bird in the driveway, and you'd be like, "What happened?" And be like, "Dad is gambling
again.
We're probably moving." Like
yeah.
So for me, CDs. I never ever even connected to records at all. I always just. Associate them with like pretentious dudes.
That was kind of the
thing.
When it was coming back, I think that was definitely the association.
Right.
But on our Twitter, I'm going to put your recommendations and, oh, great. And maybe a link.
Link in Twitter. Link in bio.
So that people can check out Rhea's Rex.
I have this. So that there's, well, because we're talking about it right now, and I believe this was an 88.5 recommendation, but there's a chance it was also Spotify. So either way, just like great job to either of those things. It is the most, like, it is so obscure. And I agree with you, Kristen. I don't like music snobbery. I was just talking about this yesterday that, like, I hesitate to make recommendations on certain things because of that, because I'm, like, gun shy to people being like, I can't believe it, you know, whatever. That, like, there's this thin margin of what you can like and can't like. Mm-hmm. And, like, no, thank you. Like, music snobbery was the internet before it existed. And, like, I don't care about that anymore. Like, I'm interested in what you like. And if I don't like that, I'm like, whoa, I don't like that at all. Like, that's cool. Tell me why you like it. Because maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But there's this.
Oh my gosh. Being open to being wrong.
Being open to being wrong. Or just like learning something new. But there's this record that it was a side project between a bunch of people. But the two names that I recall are John Hyatt, which I got really into all of a sudden, and Nick Lowe.
Oh,
they only
put
one record out. And it's this band called Little Village, and this song "Take Another Look" is like, I am just like, this is my jam. Like, I've listened to that song so many times since I heard it the first time. Like, I would say 200 times probably that I'm just like, this is a song that right now in my life is perfect. And when I listen to it in 10 years, I will remember this time of my life. I'll have to remember autobiographical. I'm not reorganizing everything. I'm just writing the score. But it, like, it just fit right in there, and I like loved it. Also got into Steve Earle because of 88.5.
Yeah,
the song "I Ain't Ever Satisfied." Also, those two songs right now are my jam. I love them.
We're gonna post a link to those on Twitter too.
We'll post a link to those, and we will also be right back with some Devo talk.
Yeah. Neat.
So stick around. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a nice break. So, Rhea, we've talked about your origins from Ohio, and that connection extends to one of our nominees this year, Devo.
It certainly does.
A band that has connections to Akron, and specifically Kent, because they formed at Kent State. And they were, I mean, when people think of Kent State, they think of the shooting.
Yep.
And Devo has said
people they were our age.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Devo has said on the record, I mean, because they were there.
Yep.
They were at the school when it happened.
So was,
Wait, hold up.
Chrissy Hynde. So was Chrissy Hynde.
Oh my gosh.
And she was
there.
These are
when it happened.
I mean, Chrissy Hynde outside. Is genuinely a. I love her.
Have you all covered the Pretenders at all?
We haven't because they've been in.
Right. They're
immediately.
They got in immediately.
Just glance across the Pretenders real quick after we get more into
Devo.
Sure.
Love the Pretenders.
We've just brought up that we love the Pretenders, and they're an artist that we call an FYE because the first year eligible, they got in immediately.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have that with those kinds of riffs. I mean, it's just what they're
undeniable, if you will.
Yeah, it really is.
But Devo has pointed to the Kent State shooting as kind of the impetus for creating their band.
Wait, really?
Yes.
I mean, yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, and then sometimes, so here's the thing. We'll begin with what do I know about Devo?
Oh, okay.
Very little. Here's the things I know about Devo. I know Whip It. I know the hats.
Yep.
That I know that Mark Mothersbaugh is in it. He did all the Rugrats music too. And I know, like, I know a lot of, like, I've heard Devo songs, but that's really it.
Okay.
I own none of their music, and I when we've talked about them in the past, I've said that I think one of the biggest blocks for them kind of being considered for the Hall is that I think that many people consider them a novelty band because of
the hats
and when a band
and the kind of Buddy Holly glasses and the, like, you know what I mean, the whole thing.
No, I know what you mean. It's almost indescribable. It's like it's
a
pretense
mood.
And it's not, they don't have pretense. They don't have it. It's just that when that thing exists, within the context of everything else, you're like, what the hell is this? But if you actually just like listen, because like I was just talking about Whip It today because I was getting ready for this. Like I was like, if I when I run for public office, that will be my campaign song. Because Whip It is about, a campaign song.
It's about Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, it's about
Whipping votes.
Well, it's not exactly.
No, it's not. Okay, I'm like very into politics. No, wait, it's not about whipping votes?
No.
It's about like Bob Cassell wrote it as like a satire of like go
handling,
forward,
yeah,
move ahead. It's not too late. You
when
know,
a
it's
problem
all,
comes along, yeah, you must whip it. Like almost as this jokey like political phrase.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah, and it was about, at the time, Jimmy Carter's policies. Or maybe...
his missteps and,
so,
like,
yeah,
the disconnect between what was actually happening. Like, they're like, letdown, essentially, of what Jimmy Carter could do or what they wanted him to do.
Uh-huh. The promise
what was actually
of Jimmy
happened.
Carter
exactly,
versus
yes,
what happened.
Exactly, versus what happened. And they're sort of, like, disillusioned with politics at the time. And it, you say joke, which is what I think people think they are a joke, but that's not what it is.
They're extremely in on it.
They're extremely in on it. Like they know what they're doing. Like they're art students.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're art students at Kent State University who watched the government murder their friends. You know, like, so they were just like, well, how can I respond to this? Mm-hmm. And it's like not ironic detachment. It's being very bathed in the satire that you were creating. In that it comes out of you, almost like you can't stop it. Because, and I know that to be true because I've gone through the Akron Art Museum, did an entire floor of Mark Mothersbaugh's art. There was so much, it was in stacks. And that's just what they had.
Right. Yeah,
so
they
I can't imagine, and like, was all of it like transcendent? No. But the amount, the output of art and creation and making things was, you know, so like he and those guys were just like, we have this going on. We are thinking about this on such a level that it has to be this ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't, no one would take us seriously. And they still don't, but they listen.
They wouldn't
and
be
it
able
became
to break
a huge
through
pop song.
If they had
If you, any 80s mix, any like, this is the 80s, has that song
has
on it.
Yeah.
And no, not that many people know what it actually is, but you're thinking about it, you know? So.
And when we talk about pretense and pretension, I mean, when Devo considers themselves, or they did at their peak, not necessarily a band, but an art collective.
Exactly.
They weren't just about...
They are not men.
Q. Yeah,
are
we not
men?
We
are Devo.
We are Devo.
I have my mom's copy of that, too, with the poster still in it.
Incredible.
Yeah.
But they are... they were not exclusively focused on music. It was everything. I mean, there was always a visual component, and that's why, you know, we have these stark images of them.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the beginning, too, of, I mean, not the beginning, but that's, like, that's very emblematic of that kind of, like, new wave, where it was, like...
But not really, because they're not new wave at all.
But, I mean, they're, like, in that, I've put
them
near that.
They're considered, no, I know you do, yes.
The peak of the album Freedom of Choice came out at a time when punk was kind of over, and... the way to categorize these bands that maybe were even kind of disparate, but they were happening at the same time was new wave.
Especially when they have like visual components to them. I think, or like,
which is
you
a
know,
hallmark
like the post-punk,
style,
like visual components. Like,
but when I think of new wave now, I think of like Bauhaus and like Human League and stuff, which was a visual
Flock of Seagulls
style, as opposed to like Devo. Devo is not like, this is our style. They're like, this is us. This is we're telling you something with all of this. You know, whereas new wave for me was like, it's stylized, which is I like about it. I'm not
But you don't think that Devo is stylized?
Well, not in the specific new wave style.
Not in the Duran
vein of
right,
what
or
we
Flock of Seagulls
consider
or whatever
to be.
But that I feel like that's like the I don't know, the commodification of it in a way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like
that,
I
guess
think
that's why
like...
I'm delineating it because I think that Devo is a band that cannot be commodified, even though they were. And like what they're doing, I think is I don't want to create like some sort of higher, like one's better than the other, but I have an appreciation for what Devo was doing retrospectively. Because I think they were operating on such a high level of intellect and artistic intellect that, like, to lump them into New Wave is to do them a major disservice.
Do you think then, I guess I see. To me, I think that to me it feels like then you think that new wave is like a denigrating term.
I don't.
In a way.
Well, I just think to that band because they're so hard to understand and comprehend, and they're also not a band that like on a Saturday when you're cleaning your house you're gonna throw on Are We Not Meant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's just not. It's stuff that you have to very deliberately listen to. Whereas new wave, I might just throw that on and listen to it. And I'm not mm-hmm. denigrating it.
Uh-huh. I also maybe don't have a specific. I think I have a very expansive view of new
yes.
wave. I think I include a lot.
Which
of
would
sometimes
include them.
It's
and I'm,
just
I'm, yeah.
an air. It's just a time period.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
More than anything. More
and
than
I think it's a.
I mean, I think
too.
Like the Talking mm-hmm. Heads went like from like post punk, and then yeah. they kind of had some new waves. I mean, to me, like
yes.
I mean, Devo and Talking Heads. That's I'm put.
Those
I would put
are,
them
like,
in the
those
same
are
thing.
My,
they're making
yeah.
art. They're not making.
The Talking Heads are like
right.
my favorite band,
and
I consider them.
They are considered to be new wave, and
yeah.
so is
right.
like the B-52s
vein.
Are considered
yes.
to be
exactly.
Yeah.
And right. that's what I mean by like these bands that have visual representations that like art, like what they're doing is also visual. Like it's auditory, it's visual, it's art, it's mm-hmm. on a different level, and it's strange, it's weird,
yes, totally,
it's. Queer, if you will, yeah. like you know, yeah.
yes,
like
for sure.
and I think that that's like one of the coolest parts about this types of band, like about those types of music, about that type of like, it's cool that people had to look at it. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, right. for sure.
Like,
yeah,
it's good and important that people had to see it.
And if we want something definitive on the Rock Hall's website for the nominee bio,
ooh.
The very first, the kind of header. It says Devo, New Wave Pioneers of Sound and Vision.
Yo.
They're wrong.
You know what? You guys can both be right.
Yeah, we totally can. I like that they're wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, it's I also think they're New Wave. So, like, right, to say
yeah.
all this shit, I'm like, yeah,
and
of
then
course.
Be like, yeah, but yes,
absolutely
they are.
Absolutely they are, but also, like, not at all. But
part of, like, what's interesting about kind of right place, right time for Devo is because they were so visual and so concerned with the visuals, they were more or less making music videos before MTV.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, right at the time when MTV needed music videos, they were like, oh, we've been making these already
yeah.
for ostensibly art installations and,
yeah.
like, our live shows. And, you know, because we just make every type of art, we have these music videos and they are artistically done, whereas most of the music videos in the heyday or the early days of MTV was like Rod Stewart lying on a couch or like fake
yeah.
fake concert footage from
yeah,
Mario Speedwagon
right,
yes.
And so they were able to provide this weird
oh my
disorienting
gosh, the fake concert footage that's like an element I have
That was a
forgotten.
Time.
That was
a real
what
time.
Some bands, that's all they would do.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they had such a chip on their shoulder, and a lot of it came from this, like, macho, like, I'm not putting on makeup
right.
kind of thing. We're like, well, yeah. we'll just, would we play songs? We'll pretend to play songs.
And then
song.
A couple of years later, they're like, I'm putting makeup on
yeah.
right now.
I am not selling records, so I better put on some makeup.
Yeah.
So the only criteria for getting into the Rock Hall is that it has to be 25 years after your first released recording.
How long has Devo been eligible?
Devo was eligible in 2003.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and this is their first nom?
So, yeah, this is their first nom. So, there's been 15
really?
Years of 2003, snubbery.
2003, 25 years after your first
release recording? I think, I want to say maybe the Mongoloid single
weird.
Was 77.
Okay. Is then that, my yeah. math is just wrong in my brain.
So, that's pretty much the only criteria, though, which is frustrating because.
Yep.
You see bands get inducted, you see bands not get inducted, and there's no real idea or criteria listed for why. So what I've done, just kind of assessing the artists that have been inducted, I've put together a list of criteria that I think
this has been confirmed by nominating committee members.
That this
they've
is
said
pretty
that
spot
this
on.
Is pretty much what
oh,
they
that's
do
cool.
look at.
It's if you do well in enough of these categories, I think you will be inducted. And also, I mean, a category that we never bring up, but like if you've been nominated, like if you're nominated this year, yeah, you have a better shot than someone who's not. So let's go through these categories and we'll kind of assess Devo's merits. So first up is critical acclaim, which like if you want a critic's darling, you kind of can't do better than Devo, I think. They're an artist that when it comes down to...
They're like, they're cool. to people. Yes,
they're like, they're cool to critics in particular, yeah, because critics. I think critics probably see themselves in these guys who
these, like,
are
nerdy. Because if you're looking at what the traditional quote or sort of established music critic is, like a white nerdy guy
with glasses,
with glasses, yeah. And like basically Mark Mothersbaugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so like literate because yeah. You know, Devo's an extremely literate band.
Yeah,
and, you know, you look at them versus, like, let's say Van Halen,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Who's
having...
Van Halen in the Rock Hall?
Yeah. Oh,
they
yeah,
got
for
in
sure,
right
for
away.
Sure.
Right away.
But if you just talk about critical acclaim,
is Duran Duran?
They're not.
Do you think they ever will
mm-hmm.
be?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad. I mean, they made a lot of really great music,
mm-hmm.
but, like, they literally just, I don't know, did it to get girls.
Yeah.
Which is,
like, they're
like most
a Bon
of this,
Jovi
but
in a way.
I don't know. It just is
know.
Kind of. I just, like, let Devo get in before mm-hmm. Duran Duran is all I'm saying.
Sure. I mean,
that's all.
There's
yeah,
a lot.
And that's fair.
literally fair. It's literally fair. Because I'm not saying Devo didn't do this to get
yeah.
girls, but they had, like, a way bigger plan.
Mm-hmm. And they were looking for different types of girls, so...
They weren't as worried about their hair. Let's say that.
Right.
It was
no,
like
that's why they put those hats
their,
on.
They,
yeah, exactly.
they were covering the hair,
yeah.
or they were putting on fake hair, as
yeah,
they did
right.
in Duty Now for the Future.
Yeah, exactly.
So, next category is classic albums. And I think... We've talked about Q, Are We Not
yep.
Men, A, We Are Devo is an extremely classic album. Always
yes.
always in the conversation of, like,
yep.
greatest albums of all time. And then I would also throw Freedom of Choice in there as well.
Yeah.
Not certainly at the tier of Are We Not Men, but, like, definitely in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got two to their name. The other, I don't think, in terms of albums, are really considered classics, but... Having one big one and then
a huge one,
and then, like, a JV,
absolutely
is. Yeah. I think
you've got a Jordan and a Pippen,
yeah.
So you're doing okay.
A lot of people, I think, consider them to be like a one hit wonder because Whip It was so huge,
yeah.
and then the rest wasn't. But that was just like hits. So, like, but in the rock world, like, those are two highly influential records.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yes,
and then kind of in the same vein, the next category is iconic songs. And then we have, like, a subcategory for recognizable. I think.
Ooh, yeah, I'm interested. Will you play some?
Yeah, for sure. So
ones?
I think in terms of iconic songs, like "Whip It," while to some people is annoying because of it being overplayed, is certainly iconic and definitely recognizable. But then I think what the key is to go beyond "Whip It," you know, because that's
yeah.
what everybody knows, right? But I think once you get beyond "Whip It," then you start to. There are some songs that you've heard, I bet, that you don't realize.
Yeah, that's
is
what
Devo.
I'm very intrigued and interested because I bet I will know more than I think I do.
I agree.
I think you will.
So I think an iconic Devo song is a song called "Uncontrollable Urge," which it goes a little something.
I know. And it goes a little something like this. I do know this song.
Right. This is a song that John Lennon liked a lot. There's a story. Where they were playing this song early on, late 70s, and they didn't know John Lennon was in the audience, but they saw him kind of afterwards. And they were sitting in their van, and John Lennon came up, and he just started singing the part that's about to come up. Yeah, 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 yeah! And he just like kept singing it, because
yeah.
it is an earworm.
It's so great.
Yeah.
And also, to think, because we were talking about the Beatles, it is such a Beatles... Like, beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like mm-hmm. I Want to Hold Your Hand or something.
Yeah.
But
Devo-fied.
Devo-fied. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's so good. It's been in so many skate videos.
I was just
going
to say, that's been in so many things.
Yeah.
Oh, did you say state videos?
Skate.
Oh, skate
like skateboarding
videos.
Yeah.
It also sounds like something that
the state
would have used
on MTV
for
would
sure.
Have used.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But also, I mean, Devo has also been cool for the most part. With letting kind of any of their songs be in commercials because
yes.
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Like to sneak through these like crazy messages that they
right.
have into commercials about, you know, Swiffer Sweepers
right.
or nachos or whatever, you
yeah.
know?
It's like the perfect, you know, like closing of that loop. Like, oh, you want to buy this thing? That's me talking about how buying this thing is the dumbest thing you could do. Great. Sounds good. I'll cash that check.
I think another, I don't know, hesitate to call it recognizable, but I think it's iconic because of what it did.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about taking the Beatles and those tropes and Devo-fying them.
Yep.
The biggest example of this is, and I'm going to play this not telling Kristen what it
great.
Is.
Great.
Okay.
And I feel like you may have heard it because, like, it is a popular song, especially among, I hesitate to say artists, but like.
This sounds like the Talking Heads to me, like, mm-hmm. so yeah. much. Yeah. yeah.
So this is off the Are We Not Men album. Bass. This is track two yeah. after Uncontrolled Voyage.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
But.
Yep.
But.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, but. Wait. Wait, but. Wait, but.
I think this song kicks ass.
It kicks ass. These drums are like, this is such a.
But they're just, this is a cover, yes.
Well, you know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, it's a cover.
Yeah, no, I knew it was Satisfaction from the beginning, but uh-huh. I was like, you're not going to, like, turn on me. This is like when I found out that Take Me to the River was a cover. Uh-huh. No, but, like, this is a cover of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, obviously. Hugh. Yeah, but it's such a,
I was like, because that's, like, a very iconic story of how they wrote the Satisfaction, and I was like, this isn't going to be one of those things where suddenly I didn't know
that the Rolling Stones covered
Devo.
The Rolling Stones were covering Devo in some weird time warp. Okay, mm-hmm. great. Good.
Right.
Yeah, I did know that, and I have heard that song. I have heard that cover before.
Okay.
But now
yeah,
I
yeah.
was like, is there going to be some
no,
weird
no, no.
twist?
It's just...
Am I being pranked again? Now I always have to be on the lookout.
So, so, and it's not a Halloween song. But such a bold move, especially at that time.
Oh, yeah.
To take, you know...
To touch that? Even?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
To take the, like, foundation, maybe the most famous classic rock and roll song... And just completely tear it apart mm-hmm. and make something new out of it.
It's like when Ashanti used that same sample that Biggie had used.
It's a lot like
it's
that.
It's exactly like that.
It really is, actually.
It's almost
the same
thing.
That's for one person out there listening to this. There's one person who knows what I'm talking about, but that was actually I'm Right.
And Devo played, well, another cool little fact is Devo played this on Saturday Night Live a week after the Rolling Stones had been on.
Dang.
Which I think is really, really
baller.
Cool.
That's a power
as some
move.
People would say.
That's a real power move, and I
That's
like
amazing
it.
Amazing and great.
You might know this one just because it has kind of the refrain that comes to define Devo. And I mean, it's the name of the album, but this song is called Jocko Homo.
I have heard this song before.
Yeah, and it's just kind of them. I mean, there's stories of them playing this song for like 25 minutes, maybe longer, until like the people at the venue literally had to come up and pull out the cords and the plugs and be like,
"Stop,
you're done." Because for them, sometimes it was just about. Almost in like an Andy Kaufman way, like yeah. getting
seeing
a
how
reaction.
Long they could,
right.
and testing people's patience.
Yeah,
we are Devo, and you can imagine them just—I mean, they would just repeat it over and over.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's challenging you to like it. And it's like
yeah.
Rhea said before, you're not throwing this on while you're just
right.
like
yeah.
hanging out.
yeah,
that's
like
not
doing chores.
That's not a bop.
Relaxing.
I'm gonna say it. It is a mood, but it is not a bop.
I mean, yeah. They've got a bop that I like.
Yeah, I mean, too. And I would honestly put that song on to do
yeah,
stuff
I mean,
just because I love it.
I
and
would,
I'm familiar
too, but
with
I just
it.
Mean general.
Yes,
yeah.
it's
I
not
mean, the only
the
thing I
population.
Could think of doing to that song is like, I don't know.
Leaving.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Like, you could build a robot to that song, maybe. I feel like you
it's,
could.
It take
you
a
could,
factory, an assembly
could,
line.
Yeah, you could assemble a thing. You could disassemble a toaster to that song. You could assemble a robot. This I like.
Yeah.
This makes me feel good.
This has an unfortunate name.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, no.
But, you know, is time, it, time is a funny thing.
Right.
Time
is it N-word, F-word?
No.
Oh, God. And I mean, I'm not about to bend over backwards to try and contextualize it in a way where Devo was aware of the. It's a song called Mongoloid.
Oh boy!
But like, you know, they were so smart, and it certainly was satirical, but also it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, that doesn't fly anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I also want to, I mean, a thing that I think about sometimes when I think about, because I don't hate Dire Straits, I just don't love them.
Right,
do you know
sure,
what I mean?
Yeah.
My mom loved Dire mm-hmm. Straits. But, like, I think about their use in Money for Nothing. I think
right.
about that. And I think about how it's kind of like a fuck you to homophobes in a way, where it's mm-hmm. like.
It's supposed to be from like, the perspective of a homophobic guy moving TVs and just being an
yeah.
idiot. But, like. it's wildly irresponsible
right.
because
yeah. but that's,
when people
yeah.
listen to music, they're not like, all right, this unreliable narrator.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's,
right.
yeah.
Who's speaking now? Because, I mean, right. even when you watch a, because comics do that all the time. And I would say, like, that up until recently was, like, their favorite use of that word.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, oh, I'm playing this character that we all relate
to. Sure, yes.
But at the same time, everybody, even though intellectually most people in that audience are like, oh, this guy isn't saying it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still laughing at that fucking word.
You are,
like,
yes.
And you're enjoying the fact that it came out. Because I watch people's faces. Yes. Like, yeah. And
with a song,
I get it.
That's
what this is. But, like, at some point, we got to stop enjoying it.
Well,
you know,
especially when you're making people sing along to it.
And
yeah,
I guess, yes, exactly. And I guess what I'm saying is, like, I look at that as like a capsule of time, and I look at that as a use of the word that I don't like, but that I put in a different category, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I get it.
I don't put it as like a.
It's a gray area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put it in a gray area, I guess.
Now, like Devo. I have been thinking about that. I'm not like a musician or anything, but I've been trying to play guitar to like have another thing to do to make me feel good. And like, I would love to do covers of their songs as like country songs. Because like, this is like already, you could slow this thing down. It's a country song.
This is like a surf song right now.
Yeah, so this might sound familiar. This is heavily featured in The Life Aquatic.
I mean, it sounds very much like a movie.
Gut feeling. And then when we get to Freedom of Choice, has like Whip It, there's a lot of songs on that album that has a more commercial feel to it. I just want to point out, we talked about, you know, they took the I Can't Get No Satisfaction and kind of tore it apart, and then the yeah is very Beatles. One thing that you may or may not have noticed, the riff from Whip It.
Mm-hmm.
Is Oh Pretty Woman. You know how Oh Pretty Woman, the guitar part. Dum, 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 dum.
Oh, Pretty Woman?
Yeah.
It's called Oh Pretty Woman?
Yeah, I mean, that's the technical.
Wait, is it the full title of the song is Oh Pretty Woman?
Mm-hmm. Well, this isn't what we're supposed to be talking
no,
about.
No, I am surprised. Well, I kept being like, this must be a song that I don't know.
No, the Roy Orbison.
Yeah, I know.
That starts, boom, 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 boom,
oh,
boom.
Oh, yes, no, I totally know that. I was very thrown by your calling
Pretty
it
Woman.
Oh, Pretty right. Woman, and
really
I was
hung
like,
up on the O there.
I was really, yeah, I got hung up
you
on
might it. Know this song.
Yes.
Girl You Want.
This is my
yes.
favorite Devo
this
song.
This song
maybe my
kicks
favorite as well.
Ass.
This
song,
kicks off Freedom
the
of Choice.
Drums and, yeah.
This song is great.
And I'd say the other recognizable.
And this is like that kind of like great. This is like new wave to me. This is like post-punk
yeah,
new
fits
wave.
In there.
This
it,
is like.
For sure fits in there.
This is the
I guess it's
type
just the rest
that
of
I
it.
Like.
You know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. then when you take pieces of Devo out, yes. But then when you look at the whole thing, you're like, oh, this is kind of bigger than new wave. I guess that's
I mean,
what
it's
I mean.
Like art rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's art rock.
Yes, for
cool.
sure. Yeah, yeah. Is part of that movement. And then this is probably the yes. other most recognizable.
Great Skank yeah. and Pickle cover of this song. Have you ever
Ooh.
Heard that?
No. I don't know what words you just said.
You don't know Skank and,
Skank and Pickle?
You
know?
No. Well, honestly, when I think of Devo, I think of the Aquabats,
yeah.
too. Like,
right.
it's got, like, a very, you know, similar type of vibe.
And then maybe the only other thing I would throw in there is their cover of, let me see if I can find it. Which is Working in a Coal Mine.
Ooh.
I love this. It's in a.
Which is a good. This is a.
This is cool and I like it.
Have you guys. Have you seen Human Highway, Joe?
I have not.
You should see Human Highway.
That's the Neil Young.
It is, yeah.
Right. So Neil Young. I know the story is that
yeah.
Neil Young, when he made a movie, when he directed a movie, he brought Hit Devo.
And they're
be
like
part of it.
Radioactive coal miners. Like, so they're like nuclear waste miners, basically, and they're all glowing red. And this song, this like a version of this song is in it. And Bougie Boy's in it. He's like the star of it, basically.
That's really funny.
It's so weird.
Bougie Boy is Devo's like kind of mascot in a way.
Oh, is he their
they're,
boss
like,
tongue?
Iconic. Yeah.
In a way, yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't do any hype. He's just kind of there doing his own performance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His like he's a little bit of an audience surrogate in a way, but then also
oh,
a representation of them.
Does he like dance around or does he
He
just
does not.
Watch?
No, he's just doing his own thing. Often in a crib, sticking a fork in a toaster. You know.
He's wild.
See,
he's
that's the kind of stuff that you could do to that song.
Mm-hmm. Working in the Coal Mine, written by Alan Toussaint, an inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the non-performer category.
Nice. Oh.
And mostly it's like a songwriter. Okay, so iconic songs, recognizable songs, more than you would think, I guess,
more
is the
than
point
you would think.
Of
it's
that
a lot.
Category. And then the next category is commercial success. So, I mean, like, we've talked about Whip It and that Freedom of Choice album that, you know, went... I could look it up. I'm not sure if it went platinum, but, like, it was a monster success, and that song was a real big hit. Now, the rest of their career, they preferred to not be so popular because then the record company wouldn't bother them, you know?
Yeah.
They kind of...
Just, like, flying under the radar a little bit.
They would
kind of doing the thing I was talking about, like, selling some stuff so that you can survive, and then...
I think they were known as being, like, especially to the record company, being very efficient. And they would deliver their music, and it would do well, it would hit the mark that was expected, maybe do a little bit more, and that would be fine. They'd get to make another album because they're reliable. But then when Whip It happened, it became this hit, suddenly the mark has changed for what is expected of them. And then suddenly people are showing up in the studio representing the record label, and now they aren't quite as comfortable making the music that they like to make. Because they weren't going to change anything.
Yeah,
they weren't like, oh, we have to make another Whip It. That was never going to happen.
Never.
And the next song they had, I mean, one of the next songs they had after that album was a song called Through With Being Cool. So as to say, yeah, no, we were cool for a little bit. Yeah. We're done. We're not going to do that.
That, I believe, is also a Less Than Jake song.
I wonder if
I think that Less Than Jake also did.
Interesting.
Or maybe they had an album called Through With Being Cool.
Interesting.
He's
a big Less Than Jake head for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Warped Tour. Don't get me wrong, guys.
Yeah,
I went to Warped Tour.
He's a big Boston. So yeah. I had a huge ska period. So.
Yeah.
Freedom of Choice did go platinum. So, you know, they have commercial success. That's not a category. You know, they're not putting up Bon Jovi numbers. But, you know, they certainly aren't putting up big star numbers.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's so...
Or even MC5 numbers.
Or John Prine numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's something in the middle. So
people have heard of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, like most people know what Devo is.
Yeah.
You know?
Longevity is the next category. I think Devo's peak, you know, longevity doesn't obviously mean how long they've been around. It's more about, like, how long were they relevant and how long were they kind of a part of the conversation? And, you know, it's from 78 was Are We Not Men, and then I'd maybe take it through potentially to the mid-80s, mm-hmm. maybe creeping into the late 80s, but that was about their run. So less than a decade, not terrible. But, you know, longevity is a category where, like, an Aerosmith scores a lot of points because they span decades, you know.
Yeah.
That's not...
They're dying on stage. That's what's happening.
Right, yeah, exactly.
He's going to...
But
die
Devo,
on that mic stand.
Devo has come back, you know, and they perform every once in a while, but they're not.
And it kind of depends on your definition of longevity, you know? Are you, like, touring and doing all the same shit? Okay. But Devo is still influencing music.
Yes, right.
So
that's the next category. The next category is influence innovation, which is one of the most important categories.
I think they blow that all the way out, you know?
And it grows with time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear probably more bands that are influenced by Devo than you do that are, like, influenced by, say, Jefferson Airplane.
Right.
For example.
Yeah. I mean, who?
Like, yes.
What band would you ever hear say, we're really influenced by Aerosmith? And you couldn't be taken seriously.
Yeah, and mean
not
it.
Because Aerosmith is bad. Like, there are Aerosmith songs that I love. Like, Crying is on a commercial now, and it, like, takes me way back.
Yeah.
To, like, and I'm
someone
just, like,
played
kind
Amazing
of enjoying
as
it.
Their cool down song at Dance Dance Party the other day.
Yeah.
And I
mean,
was like, oh my gosh, this song is, like, inspirational.
The what is the Sweet Emotion? That's a great song. Not that one, but Sing
Dream
With
On.
It, Sing, but yeah, Dream On. Come on, man. Those are great fucking songs.
Yeah, you can't deny
that. But it's also
them.
Aerosmith. And, like, if you said, we're really influenced by Aerosmith, people would think you were, like, a cover band.
Yeah.
But
if
you say, like,
you
we're really influenced by Devo, people would be like, really?
Oh, cool.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially if you're holding, like, an acoustic guitar and you're like, we're really influenced by Devo, people are going to
be
like,
people
wait,
be like,
what is
this
going to be?
About? Ooh. Next thing you know, you're playing country songs that you're playing country covers
of
Devo.
It's not necessarily a famous cover, but on the B-sides collection Incesticide by Nirvana, they cover a Devo song. They cover a song called Turnaround, which is, you wouldn't necessarily draw the line from Devo to Nirvana, but they were very influenced, And Dave Grohl on the nominating committee is the person who brought up Devo at this year's meeting.
There you go.
You know that for sure?
Yes.
How did you find this out?
So when they were announcing the nominees.
Why did I get so excited?
I love it. You care so much.
You're in.
You are so You're deep. In. You're deep in.
You're deep.
I am very curious about what the meetings are like.
Mm-hmm. So one of the nominating committee members, Alan Light, who's like a longtime journalist and with Rolling Stone in particular, went on some Sirius XM radio show to announce the nominees. And he gave a lot of insight.
Is it the show that broadcasts from the hall?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because my mom really thinks that we should try to get on that show. She is like, why don't you just knock on the window while you're there and tell them about your podcast?
Sure, I mean, put up a piece of
my
paper.
Mother really believes that we should be on that.
I'm assuming it's a show that broadcast out of New York, which was
okay.
The one the announcement came from. And that was, he brought up that, yeah, it was Dave Grohl who pushed for Devo, and he said that he pushed for The Cure and Janet Jackson, and
Yay.
I was like, cool dude. legitimately, not sarcastically.
Yes, genuinely.
I think those are two very big snubs. And he had some interesting insights.
What else did he say?
He also said that there's now 7 or 8 women in the room, which is like a record for that room, and that they were...
Out of like 30, too.
Yeah,
like,
it's
this
about
is...
28 or 30. He said that they were trying to, the women were trying to coalesce around one solo 80s female artist because a lot had come up and they thought, well, if we kind of focus our efforts on one, they have a better chance of getting in. And apparently Stevie Nicks obviously came up and she's the one who made the ballot. I guess the Go-Go's came up.
Uh-huh.
Cyndi Lauper came up.
What about my girl?
And I guess Pat Benatar came up. And they went with Stevie,
those are all solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost like they could all be nominated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's
yes,
like
I agree
almost
with
like
you.
Maybe the women shouldn't have to fucking pool their power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just get one through.
Yeah,
and then
to
that
try
one
to get one
get
through. I mean,
huh, that's weird.
And also
I've heard that story before.
And that they did it. And that they did it on Stevie Nicks, who's already in with Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
And like,
I mean, based on Stevie Nicks's performance of Wild Heart while sitting on a radiator in a loft and getting her makeup done,
and someone just happens to be
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And what's sad is that the final recording of that song is like
not as good.
Wait, I've never.
I mean,
seen
I still
this.
Will
this
crank
amazing?
It out. It's yeah.
It's oh, a back. It's like backstage.
You have to watch it.
Like
I will.
Someone via, we'll put this on the. Twitter
it was.
Well.
I think
well,
it was like a
thing
photo
is, I
shoot
want
or something.
Stevie Nicks to get in,
right?
But I just also am like, I want induct the divas.
Compared to. Specifically, the Go-Go's Cyndi Lauper and Pat Benatar. Stevie Nicks as a solo career musician,
huge.
I would put her at the bottom. I think the bulk, I'd say the bulk of her important iconic work is with Fleetwood Mac.
Hmm. I would just, I'm totally for her getting in.
And
but
I think she will
I just
get in.
I think she will get in too, because she's the number one vote from
I mean,
the
but
people
all those
at,
other people should get in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is the thing.
And they will. And what's
will.
Nice is their name is coming up in the room.
Yes.
We know that as for a fact. So that is pretty tight.
But it really does make me mad that all the women have to like be like, okay, guys,
well,
this is our chance.
One.
Let's coalesce.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one's going to get through. So who are we going to choose?
It does suck.
Yeah, that is
I
want to
make
great.
A recommendation within this context because it fits really well. This record that I got at that High Fidelity record store, just like on a whim. I don't think it was playing. I bought it based simply off of the cover art. And the record is from 1980. And... It had to have been, like, people had to have heard this thing because it is so good. It's called Catholic Girls is the name of the band. And they are, like, a new wave punk, like, waitresses kind of thing.
Interested?
And it is
signing up.
So good. I mm-hmm. put it on and I was like, this is blowing my fucking mind. And on Spotify, they got back together, like, 30 years later and just re-recorded the same album again. And, like, did the cover... I'm pretty sure. I don't think it was a fever dream that I, like, witnessed that on Spotify. But I have 2 copies of the record because when I see it, I just buy it. Because I'm like, this feels... It's a bit of a, I think, maybe a music snobby thing. But it's such a... I feel so honored to have found it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those. That
signing
then when
up.
I share it with people... If they don't get into it, I'm like, I don't know if we can be as good friends as I thought we were. Like, I'm not getting rid of you, but like,
yeah.
I really thought
you're
you were
getting
be
downgraded.
Into this and you're not
importance.
As into it as
you're
I
moving
thought.
To second tier so friendship.
It's so good.
Ooh.
All right. That's another one
okay.
of Rhea's Rex. okay, next category.
Tweets arm. Yeah.
Does my mom know who they are? Absolutely. And yes. It's been brought up before. Oh, people yeah. know the
my
name
mom
Devo.
Does Mark, or used to, when she used to work at a bank as a bank teller, she used to do Mark Mothersbaugh's parents' banking. So yes, my
that's
mom.
That's incredible.
Wow. But also she's like a couple
mother's
years
mother,
younger than them.
Mothersbaugh's mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mother Mothersbaugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody like, it's just funny because I am literally from the same place. Not mm-hmm. the same neighborhood, but the same place.
Yeah.
And to like, it's so obvious to me that they came out of there. Mm-hmm.
I especially also think Mothersbaugh could get in musical excellence. Do you not think that?
No, because I think his work in movies and TV doesn't really fit in with the
even though they have that big TV exhibit right
yeah
now?
I think
exhibit why did I say
it's
it like
unfortunate
that exhibit?
Because his scoring work like orchestral yeah. work is mm-hmm.
yeah. incredible
put and, him
like,
in for Rugrats
but that
that's
is
what I'm saying.
That's just like a that's a separate thing you know
all right
so
okay.
let's the what so we're gonna add a question here
yes
we're Ooh. Gonna I mean we're gonna
oh great oh this is a new
so we're gonna go through our verdict
great.
Should Devo get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Will they get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? When? And then a new question, will it be this year?
Okay.
So
well, that's, that's like will be answered with when.
Right. But it's they're up
okay.
this year. So
will they get in?
We'll start with Kristen.
My answer is yes. Should they get in? Oh, wait. Usually should. Should? Yes.
Right.
Will? Yes. We uh-huh. haven't done this in so long.
We know, right?
We haven't had like a specific band to talk about. Will they? Yes. When?
Right.
I don't think they're going to get in this year unless Grohl is out there, you know, working the phones,
canvassing.
Lighting it up, you know, yeah. if he's like out there, he's got some influence. He's got some pull. I just think with the field of candidates this year, I don't know. It's possible, but I do think that they will get in within the next 5 years. That is my prediction.
Okay. Good. Rhea, we
yeah.
go to you.
I mean, I got to say, I fully agree with what you just said. That's like pretty much my assessment.
Yeah.
I feel kind of 50-50 that they would get in first try or in 5 years. Like it's either going to be first try or it's going to take a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're like the zombies. I think they're going to be up and everyone's going to be like, oh yeah, they should put them in, but it's just not going to happen.
Which is why
right
I feel
away.
Like maybe the first time because they'd be like, oh yeah, Devo. Yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I
there's
think
kind
it could
of a,
twist that
there's kind
way.
Of a
yeah.
lot of artists this year that are yeah. like that as well. Like, yeah. oh yeah, Roxy Music should be.
Yeah, yeah exactly. That's right. exactly.
Also, Devo is like dying off, unfortunately.
The, yeah. Within the past yeah. few years, we've lost a few members of
Wait, really?
Devo.
Yeah.
The drummer Alan Myers and then Bob, was it Bob Casale?
That could work in their favor then. People would be like, we got to get a live show before
well,
they...
Well,
no,
I mean,
yeah,
like...
It doesn't, I don't think
no.
if maybe if they would have been nominated right after one of those guys died, but they were not.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, this is like 2014, something like that.
Joe, what do you think?
I got to agree. I mean, like,
yeah.
I... Yeah,
you guys,
of course
I nailed
they
it.
Yeah.
Listen to
you
that.
Really did.
Sometimes
Someone's
I get...
becoming an expert.
it's
but
a
yeah,
feeling, and you got it.
Within the next 5 years... I think is my assessment, and it's very promising that they got on the ballot.
Yeah,
and I think obviously they should, and I think they will. All right, let's say they get inducted. Say they get inducted this year. Who inducts them? Who gives the speech to induct them? I think the aforementioned Neil Young is an interesting
yeah,
choice.
That's a good choice
because we know that he likes them.
Yeah,
I think a wild pick that I don't think the Hall would go for, but I think would be fun would be Weird Al.
yeah,
I think Weird Al Yankovic, his music, you know, and he does a very good. Devo pastiche called Dare to Be Stupid that they always play live and they get into like these yellow basically hazmat suits but I think there's a mutual admiration plus I think his music owes a little something to Devo mm-hmm.
How about Jimmy Carter
yeah how about Tommy Pickles
yes I'm here for it Steve Zissou
I mean Wes Anderson
is not a
bad
call.
Pick
yeah
I could see that
or I mean Grohl.
Yeah, Grohl. Yeah. I mean, we know he's a fan, mm-hmm. and he would love to do it. Devo also came up when Pearl Jam was inducted. Eddie Vedder just...
And Eddie will induct
yeah.
anybody, all right? So he's like in the Hall of Fame of inductors.
Yeah,
he's
right.
inducted a lot
he's
of
a
people.
He's a generous guy.
Yeah. yeah. So
seems like
he's out there.
But they were checkmarked in Pearl Jam's acceptance speech.
Ooh.
Yeah, so... One of those.
Yeah.
Name checked.
I think those are great calls.
Name checked. And then, So we know who of the band would be inducted because they post that when someone's nominated. And it's it's who you'd expect. It's the Casale brothers, Bob
Any
and Gerald.
Snubs?
It's the Mothers Bob brothers, Mark, and another Bob, and then Alan Myers. No snubs, really. That's basically what
That's
the...
too many Bobs in a band. You know what? I'm out. I don't think that Devo should get in.
We got two sets of brothers, one set of Bobs.
Uh-uh. Mm-mm.
Sorry.
Nope.
And so when an artist is inducted, they typically play three songs.
Mm-hmm.
What three songs do they play at the induction ceremony?
They play the robot one.
You think Jaco Homo?
Yeah.
I that's an interesting. I could see them doing a medley where they start off with Jaco Homo and go into something
where they like psych you out. They you think they're gonna just play that the whole time, and then they.
I mean, or, I would love it if they did not play Whip It.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. And they're the type of band. I think Satisfaction is such a good choice because it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Here's what I think would be great. If they start playing Jaco Homo, or no, they start playing the beginning of Whip It, and then they just play Jaco Homo. For the right
they psych people out.
Yeah.
They seem like the type of band that wouldn't necessarily play Whip It.
Yes.
I
or they
see
play
it
Whip
happening.
It at soundcheck, and then they prank everybody at the thing.
But I think, as you were saying, especially because it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, playing I Can't Get No Satisfaction is like a really great choice.
Totally.
I think
Girl You Want is they gotta. It's the song
I mean, it's hard to pick
to
three,
hear.
You know?
It is hard to pick three.
I think Satisfaction's a good bet. I think Uncontrollable Urge is also
definitely.
Yeah,
a good bet.
Yeah.
And then if not Whip It, which is probably what I would predict for the third one, then maybe, I don't know, Gates of Steel.
Yeah, Freedom of Choice.
Freedom of Choice. I don't know. I guess my three would be Whip It, Uncontrollable Urge, and Satisfaction.
Yeah, that's a good.
That's a good trio.
With the Girl You Want coming in at fourth.
Yeah, coming in the fourth slot, and if they
gets
let
cut
them play
from
four,
broadcast.
Yeah. and that would, and if it happens this year, I'll be so excited. Kristen and I are going. It'll be in Brooklyn this year.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're
that's
gonna
cool.
go this year.
That's very exciting.
Greg Barrett thinks we should start a Patreon to get the
to get
our listeners to pay for it.
Do it.
But if they're there, join us, won't you, Rhea?
yeah, please.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That about does it.
Amazing.
Rhea, thank you so much for joining
us.
Anything you would
like
to plug, social media or projects coming up?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm on Twitter at Rhea Butcher and Instagram on the same. I tend to post more on Instagram than Twitter these days because it's good for my brain
soul.
And body and soul and heart.
Yeah.
No doubt.
But I am still on those two things. I have a podcast that I really like making called Three Swings that you can follow on social media. It's about baseball, but it's also about other things. It's not like if you don't like baseball. Many people have told me, like, I don't like baseball, but I like your podcast. So
that's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. I say that because, like, it's just a podcast about me and the things I'm into and what's going on for me and whatever. So that's fun. And I have guests every now and then. And then I've got some dates coming up. I'll do the Sacramento ones because those are further out. The 10th and the 11th of November, two shows on the 10th and one show on the 11th, and then I've got dates coming up in the winter that you can look out for.
Is there a website that they should go to?
RhiaButcher.com.
Hell yeah!
Thank you for that little
thing. Just then they can be abreast of all of your dates and goings on and happenings. Is
Kristen?
You can find me on all social media platforms except Pokemon Go at KStud. And you can find all of my show information at HelloKristen.com. I'm going to do my solo show one more time in Los Angeles on December 6th at the Comedy Central stage. So that'll be neat. Check it out.
That's
Prolonged
great.
Eye Contact.
Def, check it out. You can find me at JoeKJoeK on Twitter, at JoeKwa on Instagram. I will be at the Velveeta Room in Austin November 1st through the 2nd. I'll be in Austin, Tejas, and I'll be doing some other shows around then. So check it out if you're an Austin listener.
That's also the last weekend to get out the vote. So
yeah, for sure.
Legitimately, please... just vote. I can't stop talking about it. It's on my mind 24 hours a day. I'm always thinking about
vote
it. It's my rock hall, if you will. But it really matters.
So vote and also rate and review us.
Right? Oh my God. Yeah. And
five stars only.
Five stars only.
Subscribe. Email us at rockhallpod@gmail.com.
We love your emails.
At rockhallpod. We do love your emails. Thank you to Ted Tremper, Liz Full, Natalie Garcia Mayor for opening their doors to us, letting us use their studio.
And
of
thank
course,
you
to
Betts
Beth
for
dog
being
for
a good
us,
dog.
letting us know what true love is all about.
Truly.
Thank you to Future Rock Legends for being the definitive website for this kind of stuff. Thank you to Yusu Kim for the music, Mike Lloyd for the logo. I'm Joe Crisala.
I'm Kristen Stoddard.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.